Blog Talk Radio.
If you could be a superhero, would you be just this guy? Making sure people get what they deserve, especially women who lie. Like if a wife left her husband with 3 kids and no job, to run off to in Hawaii with a doctor named Bob. You could skin them and drain them of blood so they die. Especially that motherfucker Bob. Then you would be just this guy.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with
Anthony Sinandres.
Yes, and today we are talking about a lot of things today in our episode of This Week in Comics X, Comics Return. Either that or Comics X, whichever one. The comics are frozen in space for years. until they're de-thawed and they're worthless because they were
And
they
the
were
Avengers
de-thawed.
Find them.
They're de-thawed. They're worthless now. but yeah, comics. So, yeah, we're talking about Outcast first, by the way. Outcast being that old Robert Kirkman book, if you don't know. And Anthony, in case you don't know, who is Robert Kirkman?
Robert Kirkman is the creator of The Walking Dead.
Right, the comic book series, not the TV show. Well, there's a comic book series? Why are you here? Like, if you don't know that, yeah, I'm all jokes aside, though, seriously, yeah, there's a comic book series created by Robert Kirkman. He's also made a very successful werewolf series, and I was confused as to where this was going to go, because if you've read the book, which you should if you haven't yet, and, you know, hopefully maybe this review will kind of make you want to read it. And of course, if you have and you want to talk to us about it, if you want to talk to us about any of the books that we are doing today, please call us at 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. So Outcast, right? I want to say, in the first thing, 5 pages, I see, you know, a kid biting off his finger, basically. And I thought, oh, here we are again, my old friend. I guess nothing has changed. You know, cue that Walking Dead music. And then all of a sudden we start getting really into the book. Very big book, you told me. I got it digitally.
Yeah, it's like 50 pages. Even for a first issue, that's kind of big.
And how much was it again?
It was still $2.99.
Which is amazing, especially when, you know, I mean, sometimes you'll see books for $3.99 and they'll have less. And it was definitely, I mean, you're getting a lot with it, because after reading the story, it's very fulfilling. But speaking of the monster here, we first thought zombies, and we thought, oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, black smoke starts coming out of people's mouths, and they start, you know, getting hurt with holy water. And we realize, oh, wait a minute. Hello, we're dealing with demons today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a series that's going to be about demons. And it's very interesting, because obviously we've seen things about demons like that. I mean, you look at Supernatural, and they've, you know, done the whole black smoke thing as well. But it's cool, if only because Supernatural, you know, I'm not saying that I hate the show, but I'm not a big fan of where it's going and what it's kind of become, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to give me demons versus not even angels, just people who are good or people who can fight demons, I'm all for that. Thumbs up, everyone. You know, just thumbs up, guys. Keep on doing that. What did you think of the book?
I mean, I loved it. I pretty much, when this came out, the first thing I saw was Robert Kirkman's name, so I'm like, all right, so I'm going to get 2 just in case. And I read it, and at first I was confused for the first 5 pages, because it was kind of going back and forth between back then, now, all this stuff. But at the same time, I do like that. I hate when one of my biggest pet peeves with comics is when the writer tries to spoon-feed you exactly what's going on and overkills it. Whereas this one, it doesn't go the superhero route and go 12 days earlier or 2 hours later. You just have to figure it out, and you absolutely
especially, do. Especially when they think that's spoon-feeding, where it's like, no, guys, I'm confused. We've made a web on our wall as if the superhero is now a serial killer. We're trying to track down the time. Talking to you, Batman Eternal. So you look at Outcast, and it's very interesting. It's about a guy who's literally an outcast, who basically, from the looks of it, has had demons surrounding him his entire life through both his mother and his wife, who sadly, from the sounds of it, his mother was exorcised, but it doesn't seem as if she was exorcised without death.
Yeah.
You know, it seems as if she died. But what's cool is they haven't really focused on that. It seems as if she died. It seems as if his wife and his daughter are okay, but at the same time, his wife was possessed at one point, which is why he isn't with her anymore, because I think the consensus was that he basically beat his wife in front of his daughter.
I was going to touch on that. That was a really sad scene. It was the intent that it wasn't that he beat It was that wasn't it, well. It's kind of what you said. It was that he beat his wife and his daughter as well,
right? Which because they assume that, you know, even though it was the wife being possessed, hurting the daughter, and the daughter is obviously unconscious, and then he is hitting his wife because, you know, the possessed person does look like a zombie, in a way, at least to a certain degree. Especially when they do things like, you know, I mean, this in the beginning, this kid basically bit off his own finger. And I love the misdirect because they made it seem as if he was eating chips, and it's just like, you know, Billy, you know, what are you doing eating so late before bedtime? And he's like, I'm hungry, and then you see his face drenched in blood, and part of his finger has been ripped off. And that's page one, and also, you know, it's funny because I'm not going to say that The Walking Dead isn't scary, that The Walking Dead doesn't make you jump, but I will admit that, you know, Kirkman said it himself at the back of the book. He didn't think of Walking Dead as a horror comic, right? But I think, the smart thing here in this book, it's actually with color. If you read The Walking Dead, you'll see that there's no color. It's black and white. This book, with its color, they can use it in the most, interesting of ways to really kind of get you, creeped out, right? Because if you had seen that in black and white, you would have been creeped out, but they're, adding that color to it, adding that,
exactly,
to it.
And playing off the shadows with, like, when the kid was possessed where his eyes were, like, kind of, like, glowing through the shadow, and you just saw his crooked head with a smile. It was, the art is unbelievable for this.
Oh, it really is. It really is. Mm-hmm. And, so I definitely want to say that I love this book as well. Something funny, I don't know if you noticed this, definitely check it out, because Anthony has the book open in front of him. If you go back to when the main character, when he was first trying to wake up out of sleep, you can see in his room different, like, figures and different posters. And I find it funny, if only because when you look at the poster, you basically see three Power Rangers.
Do you really?
And you look at the... Yes, go back and look at it right now. When you look at the figure, it looks like a giant robot. Not more the Transformers, more of the Japanese tokusatsu route. And also, when you see those three Power Rangers, the way they pose, it's funny if only because it's more of the tokusatsu route. Tokusatsu, if you don't know, basically means special effects in Japanese. And of course, tokusatsu can be many things, like, you know, Star Wars, or even, I mentioned Supernatural, the TV show is also tokusatsu over there. But like anime, right, which over there means animation, we take it as, you know, this show or that show, right? So when we think of tokusatsu, we think of Super Sentai, which is Power Rangers in Japan. But, you know, where Power Rangers came from. But back in the day, back in the 80s, they would have sometimes like a three-man group. So if you see that pose right there, it's very interesting because, yes, that's that's kind of the older kind of style of tokusatsu, which is very interesting because you start to sit here and think, wow, maybe these guys are fans of things that we like. They're just not drawing them.
I'm looking at it right now. It's even great because I kind of pinpoint who the Transformer kind of looks like.
Oh, so it is a Transformer.
It looks like it's supposed to be one.
Okay, because there's actually a Japanese character. You can look him up later. Also, you can look him up at home, anyone who's listening, called Daitetsujin 17. And it's funny because, it looks like that kind of robot, where it's like the Mazinger type, I'm not saying it can't be a Transformer, but it looks more of like the Japanese kind of, not even like Golion or Voltron, not like that, more like just the standard, Japanese robot.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be a Transformer as well. I mean, they could be a fan of both, Either way, though, it's a very Japanese-y room, which is weird because that never gets touched upon at all throughout the comic. It's just there.
He collects cool stuff.
Yeah, like he has this deep, deep, dark, past, and he's so troubled, and all the ladies must love him, right? Just all this stuff. And also, he watches Japanese shows with subtitles on the side, whatever.
Yeah.
He doesn't leave his house. That's what he does,
Everyone needs a hobby.
Yeah. What's funny is that they mentioned, Robert Kirkman mentioned that there's a few things that are there as hints for things that'll be brought up far down the line, I'm wondering if that's just one of the hints.
That would be great.
I might just just, you know, just what happens if you, and even said, oh, you know, maybe demons aren't the only, you know, things. Like, what would happen if just, it's not just demons eventually, just he's fighting giant robots? What if that's where we're going with this?
That would be amazing. His car is a transformer, and he never knew.
His car is a transformer that gets possessed by a demon.
Oh, God.
And then everything is right and wrong with this. Everything is perfect. but seriously, though, I mentioned the far away thing because Robert Kirkman did say, oh, yeah, some of these things that are in here are actually hints for things that will pop up again far, far down the line. That worries me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that worried you as much as it did me, and I say worried if only because I'm kind of sitting here and I'm kind of thinking, how far do you mean, Robert? How far down the line? Because you look at The Walking Dead, and I'm not saying that The Walking Dead is uninteresting where it is, but it's currently in the 100s. How far? Because even The Walking Dead, I admit, maybe some people thought, oh, The Walking Dead can't last that long. And yes, they've been proven wrong, right? But I'm wondering, with Outcast, how far can we really go? You know, when we learn his past for, you know, completely, mm-hmm. Is he just going to go around solving these cases, helping these demons? You know, eventually they're going to have to face a big boss.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, how long, and of course, I'm sure you don't know about anything about solicits for this, or do you?
I'm sorry?
Any solicits or anything?
I haven't seen anything yet.
Okay, all right, but because it makes me wonder, you know, how far?
As far as I've seen at least up to 4 as of now.
Okay.
But I would love to see the series go at most 50.
No, I agree. 50, I think, is a great number. I like that number. Either, you know, I always like the numbers 25 or 50. Not a big fan of 100, usually.
Yeah.
not a big fan of... I like 50, and I think that for a series like this, especially if it keeps up, you know, these 50-page stories, even a bit less, still 50 is a good number. I like it. Anything more, and I don't know. I mean, again, he can do. He made Walking Dead is still pretty interesting where it is right
and
now.
And we're in like issue 130 almost, I think.
Yes, almost 130. So, I mean, I will admit though, I don't want it to go for 200. But again, where we are right now, yeah, I understand. You know, we're doing well. But
yeah.
I just don't know. I mean, of course we don't know much about this, other than we love it, right? And it's probably our favorite. If we had a shoot out of all the comics today, it would probably be our favorite.
Oh, absolutely. It was the first one I read as soon as I got home. I was like, I need to know what goes on in this book.
It was also funny. Apparently this is outselling The Walking Dead right now.
Yeah, the pre-orders outsold The Walking Dead when people, like comic shops, place their orders.
That's funny. But yeah, I mean, we'll see where this goes. Overall, definitely, if you haven't read it yet, definitely get it because we've barely spoiled anything, which is nice, I think. Like, we really haven't, because for all you know, the main character dies. I mean, for all you know, Robert Kirkman goes, yeah, I'm a big fan of Game of Thrones, so we don't know. So I definitely read it. I would suggest, you know, we started off first because, yeah, it's a brand new series. It's a brand new, you know, comic book series, and we're going to stick on with this for a while. I mean, what I like about this compared to something like, well, we won't touch upon it yet, let's say Batman Eternal, right?
Mm-hmm.
This series is just, I don't see this series really decreasing in quality that much.
Not at all.
I mean, it could. Anything can happen, but they'd have to, they'd have to actively try to make us go, I don't know. So far, thumbs up on Outcast. Moving forward, onto our next book, All New Ghost Rider, number 4. That was interesting.
It was a strange
issue.
It was... I felt it was a filler, to be honest.
I agree completely. That's the thing. I mean, it was funny, and I'm not saying I didn't like it, but because I would never say I didn't like... again, Ghost Rider also has to get really bad, because it hasn't been bad at all out of these last 4 issues. But, yeah, it felt very filler-ish. It felt like some of it couldn't have happened. Some of it I understand. I mean, I think the parts with Grumpy were hilarious, I'll admit.
Oh, yeah.
Just basically, yeah, Grumpy's just great. I mean, the fact that he grew 4 arms was just amazing, you know? And really thinking about it, this issue may have been funnier than Spider-Man.
Which is very interesting.
Yeah, that's a strange thing to say, but that's what I would go for, yeah.
One thing I will say about this series is I love all of the Marvel Easter eggs they have in every single issue. Like, I don't know if you caught it in this one, but there's an X-Men Easter egg Where the graffiti on the wall is...
Yes,
okay.
Yes, Cyclops. No, it's just, you know, he was right. What you mean was... Explain to everyone what happened if they haven't read it yet. You know, because it's nothing spoilerish, which is great, I think, with these Easter eggs. But please explain it.
Basically, we're talking about the Avengers versus X-Men arc, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Basically, what happened was, if I can remember, because this was about a year or two ago.
Well, no, what I mean more is, it's just the fact that it's just, you know, it's basically just the whole ideology with, you know, Scott versus, you know, Wolverine. And, you know, and their ideals clashing. That's what I meant more, where, you know, yeah, their ideals clashed, if you don't know about that. Definitely check that out in Avengers versus X-Men. But what matters is that, you know, there's many, even now, on the internet, it still feels as if there's turf wars.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, Scott was right. No, he wasn't. Yes, he was. Scott was trying to kill everyone. No, he was not. He was actually trying. Right? So all this stuff that people, you know, try to argue about. So I think it was really nice to see that the comic book creator, you know, the creator for All New Ghost Rider kind of acknowledged that as graffiti on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, if you saw as, you know, the right before, you know, Hyde was trying to talk to that kid, you know, Garrow, you saw that... There was this graffiti, and it was Scott in his new suit with the, you know, with the whole X mask, and it said, and, you know, and it said he was right. And then, as if it was bathroom, you know, things written on the bathroom wall, you just all scrolled right above the he was right. Just what you mean was. And I'm just sitting here, just thinking this is nice, because I'll admit I didn't see Spider-Fish, but what I like about this more is that. It still was in the background, so you could have just went like, oh, hey, I think that's Scott, whatever. But no, the second I saw Scott, I had to read it. And I think what I like more is that it seems more plausible than Spider-Fish.
Definitely.
Where Spider-Fish was like, you know, we're kidding around.
I just love that they take the time to actually put in the Easter eggs for everything.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that the... Hell, I would like to say that if he hasn't written for Spider-Man yet, the creator for Ghost Rider would do very well with Spider-Man, I feel.
Absolutely.
You know, as I said always, I really enjoy just the way he. I feel as if this, you know, this guy lived, you know, in L.A. Like, in no way is he writing about a place that he's never been to. You know, I feel like these are his experiences in a way, you know, where he writes these characters as if they are, like, in no way do I feel like he's being, you know, like it's like these racist caricatures. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's because I'm Hispanic myself, and I've seen some good and some bad. So for me personally. Seeing, you know, another Hispanic who's also writing this series, it just feels right. You know, it feels good. And in no way, I think, does it feel as if it has to be tailored towards me.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly you are not Hispanic, last I checked, and you are also enjoying it.
Yeah.
But again, a bit of a filler. Because it felt as if it's just trying to lead us into the final battle. But at the same time, it's just, you know, it had to be there. Where it's like, all right, we have to make another one before the final arc, you know, for the TPB, you know, for the trade paperback.
Mm-hmm.
And this was that issue. Although I have to admit, though, the thing that I really thinking about it, this was a very funny issue, because when the main character, just his exchanges between himself and the Spirit of Vengeance,
yes,
it was just they were great. Just can't win them all, kid. You know, and I think what was great about it was that they were there throughout the entire issue, and he was fighting them back, but at the same time, you know, at the last one, where he was in the car with his little brother, and he was really about to just go nuts, and he actually could have, because, hey, Hyde was there, but whatever, he didn't know, and he was just about to, and then he snaps back into reality, and then says, what, vanilla or chocolate, which one does the ice cream monster want? You know, and that was really cute. I think that also the exchanges between him and his brother were also very cute.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just it was really nice. I just really enjoyed this issue. Again, filler, but at the same time, what I like about this writer is that while we can sit here and say it's filler, in no way, you know, would I have went, oh, filler, well, we're going to have to drop this. No, it was still entertaining. And at the end of the day, for us, that's what matters.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I would say, Matt. And then, of course, you know, we're done with that. We're moving forward to Batman Eternal number 12. This was very interesting.
Very much so.
So tell everyone what you think about Batman number 12, Anthony.
I'm both happy and angry. I'm happy because this is exactly what I wanted this book to be since the beginning. And the reason I'm angry is because it is exactly what I wanted from the beginning, just as I'm about to drop the book. So once
again,
I'm about to go out, and they get me right back in.
Yes, we talked about this. If you've seen our constant struggle with, you know, Batman Eternal as if it's an abusive lover, we are literally, and I mean that not as a joke, I just mean that, as if we want to get out. They're hurting us. And then here we are with a book that, I mean, this issue was really good. I will admit it didn't have as much action, I think, as many people would want to see in a Batman comic book, you know, but in no way did it, everything happened. Everything, we got references to Tim, to Harper, I mean, to, you know, Batman, to Alfred, you know, Tim met Julia, Alfred's daughter. Everything that happened did, and I was happy.
And
Gordon.
Yeah, and I was about to say, and they managed to tell all of that and still have the primary focus on Gordon and the new lieutenant.
Yeah. I mean, wow. Wow, really. Seriously, great job, guys.
Yeah.
And I'm just really worried. And what's funny is I'm going to say I'm really worried about what's going to happen next week because of the last page, which, again, as we always say, you know, they either, like, again, they get us back in, and we're like, oh, we're here. And then that page comes up.
Yep.
And you're sitting here like, I don't know about this one, you know? I don't know as much about Jim's kids, other than that one who became that Batgirl chick, right? I don't know that much about Jim's kids. I've heard from reading bits and pieces of the current Batgirl run that his son is dead. Or apparently he's not. Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
And this is the problem with comic books right here. I had someone who I know recently was talking to me about comic books, and he doesn't know too much about them, but, you know, he'll read here and there, and he at least will, you know, at least read up. So if he's not reading the book itself, he'll read up on it to know what's going on. And he'll say to me, you know, something like, oh, yeah, well, no one ever really dies in comic books. And I was trying to throw out the Gwen Stacy thing, but of course with the asterisk, she was a clone at one point. But she's still dead, you know. But the thing is, though, is that it's true. It's just you can't ever kill someone.
The only one that has successfully stayed dead is Uncle Ben.
Yeah. And even then, he was in Peter's mind.
Well, that's true.
But still, he stayed dead. Should we go into Captain Gwen Stacy, you know, Captain Stacy, or should we not?
Let's just leave that for another day.
Okay, good. I don't know too much about the old captain, but apparently he's been a spider zombie more than once.
Unfortunately.
But seriously, though. It's just, you know, that's the thing. Where it's just, I mean, again, I don't know too much about this character. I will admit that, yes, maybe if I knew more, I'd be like, no, but he was also this guy, so he should be. But still, there comes a time when, at least for the time, because here's the thing. I'm pretty sure, unless maybe, you know, time is, I'm losing my, you know, my sense of time. He didn't die that long ago.
No, it wasn't. It was maybe a few months back.
That's what I'm saying. At least give us the favor of killing off someone for a while. You know, I mean, you look at DC, and you look at what they've done, and they've actually done some great things. I mean, they bring Barry Allen back, but look how long it took to bring him back. So it's not a problem for me.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe for some who, you know, live through that time without Barry, fair enough. But for me, you think, you know what? It took them a while at least to do it. You know, I'm okay with it. You know, there's certain people that if you bring, like, if you were to bring Damian back eventually, I would be fine with it. Hell, I'm so sad that it even happened that I'd still want it recently. But
well,
it's
I'm
happening.
Glad that you're going to be okay with that because he is coming back.
Yeah, but the problem is too soon. Too
exactly.
soon. That's my thing. Too soon. Where it hasn't even been 2 years yet.
Well, that is the norm in comic books now. 1 year. Cap was dead for a year. Batman was dead for a year.
For some reason, it makes me feel like Cap was dead longer. I don't know why. Forgive me, then. For some reason, I wanted to at least commend them on Cap.
I mean,
felt like he was gone.
You know what? Actually, I take it back. He might have been. I don't...
I'm
yeah,
fairly,
yeah, it might have been more than a year.
Thank you. I'm fairly certain. He came back, obviously. You know?
Yeah.
But he's here, everyone. You know, we do Invaders every week. It's actually not Cap. That's his evil twin brother, Pac. No, it's Cap. No, it's, you know, it's Cap. But yes, getting back to Batman. Yeah, I just don't... He doesn't need to be back. And now that he is, I feel like he's going to do something that everyone else has done thus far and muddy up this story to hell.
Exactly.
Because the story was, we were doing really well, guys. We were back on track. You know, it's like, it just, I feel as if Batman Eternal is one of our podcasts, except very unfunny. We'll get off track, but at least we'll be hilarious about it.
Yeah.
You know, and they just get off track, and it's not, I don't want to say it's not good exactly, but it just, it doesn't feel worth it. It's mm-hmm. one of those things where it feels as if, which is kind of funny if you think about it, because other than the first few pages of this issue, you could have actually gotten, you could have actually, and, you know, skipped last issue, I feel.
Oh, absolutely.
If you think about it. Where it's just, yes, the first few pages will make you think, damn it, what happened to last issue? But all you need is to call your comic book buddy. Batgirl was in Brazil. She was unsuccessful. Thanks, Bob. You know?
Exactly.
And then you're, that's, that, and I know, yeah, okay, well, every comic book could be that way then, just a one sentence. Not really.
No.
You know? I mean, you look at Outcast, and I couldn't explain that to you in one sentence. You know? Or in two sentences. No, you look at, even when you get to Justice League, or even Amazing Spider-Man, you know, that we're going to be doing soon, there's still, like, again, there's certain things that you couldn't really just explain in one sentence. But some of these Eternal comics, they're just getting very easy to just explain off if you needed to just not care.
Exactly.
You know, and that's a problem, where everything else was, you know, everything else that just got picked up again were things that we've seen 2, 3, 4 issues ago. Maybe even 5. You know, I mean, when was the last time we saw Tim was around 6, 7.
Tim was in issue like 4, I think, actually.
I'm fairly certain you're wrong, but I wouldn't even know because of how long we were. Well, I want to yell at you for being wrong, but I don't know. That's the problem.
I will look it up.
I want to say, you know, you're wrong, Anthony, but I forgot. How can we know? Because it's been so long. Think about Batwing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I actually
forgot
about that.
As you should have.
Oh, man.
Because there's no reason you had to. See, that's the thing. Thankfully, you know, one of our friends, Gary, called in last week, and he's a good pal of ours, right? He called in, and he said something which was true. He said, oh, well, the problem with monthly, you know, when comics are monthly is that, yeah, you'll forget the comic by the time it'll come out. Now the problem with these weekly is that you'd think that they try to combat that. But no, they still have plot points that they haven't touched in, you know, in a month, month and a half.
Exactly.
That you're still sitting here thinking, you know, oh, shit, that's right, that guy's doing something. Or that girl's doing something. Maybe we should go back to them. It's just, and then what's even scarier is that when they go back to them sometimes, it feels as if no time has passed.
Yeah.
So it's just like, all right, so we're reading, are we reading, you know, when they jump back to, thankfully they jump back to Tim and time had passed, but still, it was as if not that much time had passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's, I don't know, it was one of those things where it's just, they need to really buckle down and focus on this more. I know I probably sound like an idiot for saying that. I'm not writing comics, and I'm not. But, I don't know, just, I feel as if this was an experiment that has gone wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's an experiment, you know, it had to, you know, because again, you know, I'm happy it happened, but
yeah.
I'm not happy with where it's going, and, I mean, you even mentioned, there's, about the solicits, before we move on, you mentioned about the solicits for the Eternal.
Right. It was up until, I believe, September I saw solicits too. So that's about, I think it goes up to issue 20-something, possibly 30.
Right, but I remember you mentioned that the solicits and whatever, they don't. That doesn't even go up to, from the things you've seen, that doesn't even go up to
okay.
the event.
Yeah, it doesn't even match what we saw in Batman number 28, which is supposedly very far into Batman Eternal. So I have, it's scary when you think that we're essentially 20-something issues in, and we still haven't even cracked what could very well be considered the halfway point for
exactly.
a weekly series.
And that's the problem. What do they consider, you know, do they really want to get this up to 100 episodes? Is 100 episodes, 100, you know, 100 issues? Is 50 what they consider to be their halfway point? Because I know that there's Eternal, I was going to say, you know, diehards, but Eternal fans, you know, like who would just buy Batman no matter what. But can they really keep this series afloat?
Yeah.
I don't think they can. You know, I mean, we have someone, again, like our friend Gary, but again, I don't think that they can really keep this series going. And it worries me if only because I would hate for them to rush this out you know, rush the ending or something like that out of nowhere, because then it makes you feel as if, you know, it was a really bad series. Because I'll admit, maybe by the end, when looking at everything as a whole, it will be good.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, as of 12, if they had to end this at 25, that would be bad.
Very bad, because there's a lot to wrap up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a huge issue, in my opinion. But you know, but we'll be moving on. Sadly, Gary did not call us today. Gary, where art thou? Where art thou, Gary? Yeah, no one cares. So moving forward. No, just kidding, Gary Bear. You can call.
We love Gary.
We totally, but he didn't call, so screw him. So, Amazing Spider-Man number 4.
Three.
It wasn't as good as it usually is, but it was still a nice pick-me-up. You know, it was still kind of a nice...
It was okay.
Yes, fair enough. It was okay. I do think, though, Peter always steals the show, I think. Everything
Absolutely.
Peter does is priceless, and I love him. Just coming out and trying to, he's like, Mr. Boss Man, Mr. Nice Boss. You know, it's like, everyone will love working with me. Is that dude bipolar? But it was just great, because it's just, these. Even though he was still nice the last time that they saw him, so I don't know why they're confused still, but maybe they just thought that was a one-off random act of kindness, because the last time they saw him, he was nice, but still, it's very interesting how, you know, the impression that they've had of Peter is of Ock.
Yeah.
So it's just really, it's really funny to just see how they're just thinking, like, who the hell is this guy? Right?
Yeah, no. I love that he comes out in a Hawaiian t-shirt. Did nobody get the casual Fridays memo? Everyone just stares in silence.
Yeah, and then later, where it's just, you guys, you know, go solve this fire. I'll go get snacks. What the hell is wrong with that guy?
I'll get drinks, fruit snacks, whatever. It's like,
yeah,
what?
Exactly. It's great, you know? It's just, especially the fact that he even initiated, just, you know, just even said, just, we should do a field trip. Everyone was just, oh my god. It's a very interesting, you know, it's very interesting to see where this is going to go, at least, you know, with this Parker industry, you know, set up. And then the JJ thing, I think I was a huge fan of.
Oh, I love that.
If only because JJ, I think, is everyone out there, everyone, where right now you could be like, you know what, yeah, screw, you know, DC with Eternal and Superman, but if they asked you to write for them, you would jump on immediately, Anthony.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
You know you would.
Oh,
I know I
would.
And at the very least, and it's funny, because for some people, they would go, no, never, because they go against what I believe. Yeah, but if you're a part of them now, you can now spout what you believe. You can write what you want, to a certain degree, I think. And therefore, you know, someone like, you know, JJ, who is like, you know, oh, yeah, you know, I hate this, you know, this network and everything that it stands for and all of its viewers. Mr. Jameson, we're offering you a job on, you know, to have your own show. I'll take it.
He just has the biggest smile. He's like, I think this medium of television has finally justified its existence.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Because actually, I will admit, though, it's pretty crazy to hear that, you know, it used to be, oh, JJ is going to, you know, use the old print, you know, the old newspaper to talk about how bad Spider-Man is. Now I can do it on the air.
Yeah.
And he can literally say every little thing that Spider-Man ever did to him. Because even if it was lies, which it's not, but even if it was, you can do it for ratings.
Exactly.
That's literally, from the way it sounded like he was literally talking about Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great, because he can literally just say whatever he... If you've seen anything involving Nancy Grace...
Oh, I have not.
I mean... I'll just say this much. I'm sorry to derail, but this actually does matter. When you look at, she was talking about wrestlers' deaths when the Ultimate Warrior died, right?
Mm-hmm.
And many wrestlers, I will admit, yes, back in the day and maybe even now, used, you know, steroids to kind of boost up, you know, the way they look and whatever. And that could be one of the causes of their premature deaths. You know, that or even other drug use back in the day. I heard wrestling was, you know, crazy, you know, coke and then, right? But what happens is when you list wrestlers' deaths, like in like a list, or you either read off names, and then some of the names that you read have nothing to do with steroid use involving their death. It's mind-blowing. And again, if you're not a wrestling fan, you're just going to take her word for it. You're not going to disagree with what she was saying. So she was throwing out names like Owen Hart, right? Where if you don't know, Owen Hart actually died from an accident involving it was a harness that was supposed to bring him up from the rafters down into the ring. And sadly, the harness snapped or something, or it wasn't secured correctly, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that happened a while ago, right? Mm-hmm. At one of the pay-per-views. This was, like, you know, in the mid-90s, right? So, mm-hmm. obviously, that's a death, right? But you can't say, are steroids the cause of this wrestler's death? And then list Owen Hart in a list of wrestlers' deaths. Right? Just using mm-hmm. names to get what she wants, you know? And I mean, again, things like this, you know, you even had Junkyard Dog, who, if I'm correct, died via an automobile accident. How does that in any way have to do with steroids?
Yeah.
And that's my point exactly, you know? Where it's just, where, you know, so again, JJ now has a show that could easily be like that, where it's just, you know, Spider-Man is bad. Woo! Yeah.
And here's
why. JJ.
Last week, he cracked a window in my room. I don't know how he got in, but he did. And that's why he's bad. It's like,
That reminds me of Avenging Spider-Man. If anyone has read Avenging Spider-Man, which is great, by the way, there was an issue where basically Moloids from underneath the earth brought JJ into it, and there's this whole, like, you know, underground alien trying to take over the earth kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man is there trying to help him with Red Hulk. And all of a sudden he goes, Spider-Man, I knew you! And then he stops himself. And Spider-Man looks at him. What, JJ? You knew that I was a part of an underground alien conspiracy trying to take over the Earth? I stopped myself! That's how this show is basically going to be. Where it's like, is global warming being caused by Spider-Man? Tune in tonight to find out! You know, that it's going to be great.
Absolutely.
That may have been the best part of this entire book.
Well, it'd be great when then they address the global warming. There's an artist's rendition of him just moving a satellite in space.
Yeah. There's an artist's renditioning of Spider-Man driving the Spider-Mobile. Something that never existed. Only exists in toy form. Driving a Spider-Mobile to cause CO2 emissions. It's like, but seriously though, other than that part, though, I think the best part of this book was when Spider-Man had to fool Black Cat.
Oh, God, that was great.
Yeah, where he had to fool her into thinking that Doc Ock was still in his body, and he didn't know. What's great is that he didn't know how Doc Ock actually sounded. So he just picked up random words and threw them together, and I sat there and I was worried that he was actually still there.
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, this is very good.
Yeah, I was like, is he? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he sits there, oh God, did I sound like that for months? And no, did I sound like that for months and nobody noticed?
I love that line.
Yeah, I'm just, because that's the thing, I like that kind of humor, and what's great is the same writers are doing it, so it's not as if it's, you know, another writer coming in and taking a crack at the old guys. No, it's mm-hmm. still them, right? They're still the same writers on the series, yes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's very interesting, to, you know, to see that. And I think, but here's the thing, though, right? It could have been the best issue out of everything we've had this week. Right, but you know, at least superhero wise. But sadly, they had to have this become, you know, misunderstandings the series.
Yeah.
And now we have to have Black Cat not believe Spider-Man at all, and to now go against him. And again, I understand she went through some terrible stuff, right? I mean, prison is no joke.
Yeah.
It is not. You know, prison's no joke. You know, you do not want to be there at all, right? But the thing is, it's just, I don't know, hearing that Doc Ock was Spider-Man, I'm not saying that it needs to be out to the world, and hey, maybe that's what they're going for, though, maybe eventually he'll need to say that, it's kind of, mm-hmm. you know, we'll see maybe an aftermath of that, I would like that, but what I'm wondering is, the Avengers know now, you know, the Avengers know, so is it an Avengers kept secret? You know, because there's never really been an explanation. Like, do the Avengers not tell anyone? Because mm-hmm. even if it's just only the Avengers know. Everyone is an Avenger now, though. So what is it? Only five Avengers now?
Exactly. Everyone in this freaking universe is an Avenger by now.
Basically, pretty sure Doom has been at least one. So try. You know. So it just it makes me sit there and think. You know, how has the word not spread?
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. I mean, I just feel as if, and I'm thinking, if you know, again, is there no way that someone could, like, you know, again, get Black Cat to understanding, hey, you know, that, you know, I was Doc Ock. Seriously, ask Wolverine. Was I Doc? He was Doc Ock. You know, just anyone, just anyone that could just make her think, like, oh, well, that wasn't you. Damn, that's, I don't know, something about it was just, and again, I'd also like to add that, you know, she has to sit there, just like the way he made the joke, where she has to sit there and think, huh, that wasn't like him.
Exactly. And it's not even just that. This is completely outside of her normal character range, if you know a lot about Black Cat. Especially
in the
very end, when she teams up with Electro. She's never teamed up with a big villain like that. It's always been about the small heist. That's it.
Well, what I would say is that, I mean, that's the thing. I assume they're trying to say, like, oh, she's so different now, you know. Prison changed her, and it's true. Prison does change her. I haven't been into it. I haven't been there myself, but you know, it's not a nice place. But still, it's just, I don't know. Something about it just really feels off. Where it's just, I feel as if they've written themselves into this corner. That, I mean, what are they going to do? Like, what's going to happen? Black Cat's going to learn that it is Peter, and Peter's okay now, and everything's hunky dory, and then what?
Exactly. She's just going to go back to doing small-time crimes.
And then everyone's going to be happy.
Exactly.
Her life is... And I'm not saying that I don't like when they do things different, when they actually keep things going as a story. I mean, you look at the Jason Aaron run of The Incredible Hulk, and I'm actually very excited about that as I've been reading it. Sorry, everyone, I haven't read that yet. I'm reading it right now. And it's great. But there are just certain things I feel that are just going not too far, but it's just, where can we go back? You know, like, not as a reboot kind of thing, but it's just, all right, so is this going to be how it is forever? You know what I mean? Where this is really changing their lives in a way where you can, again, you can never go back. So either, and in this case, it just feels as if Black Cat is always going to be a super villainess now.
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to die and then come back 6 months later? You know,
inside the body of another superhero?
Black Cat is, no... Listen in, true believers. Black Cat is now Electro Cat. It's just Electro. It's Electro with a Black Dynamite afro.
It's Electro Cat.
Yeah. Giving you a bang for your buck. Let's move on.
Okay. Yeah, one's kind of just... Let's let that simmer.
I realized where we were, and I thought, you know what? Let's not do this. Let's just not.
Yeah.
I will admit, though, before we move on, although I am, you know, we're going to do it quickly, I do think the Electro thing is interesting. You know, it is.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I like that they're trying to use, it's not, you know, I'm happy they didn't just throw him away. You know, after, like, oh, well, we're trying to, develop this cure, but let's not use him at all in any other way. No, it's not, you know, they're not trying to develop a cure as a way to bring him up but not reference him at all. No, he's still there.
Yeah.
And we're going to have Black Cat try to work with him. But yes, as you said, it is kind of out of her character.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's move on to Justice League 31, shall we?
Of course.
I want to talk a lot about this, but I'll let you do some talking. So, how do you feel about Justice League 31?
I'm very mixed on it, because there was a lot that I liked. I did like the whole Bruce and Lex banter. The whole bit, like, you're not joining the League, Luthor, was kind of established 2 issues ago in Justice League, a bunch of issues in all the other series that were not delayed. But my favorite part probably was Cyborg and Shazam on monitor duty. I loved when Shazam was trying to use his powers, and he wished to see what he wanted most, and the ping pong table showed up.
I
thought that was great.
I like it, although I'm confused because I'm wondering if anyone has already picked up on the fact that he's 8. You
Shazam?
Know, I'm wondering. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, has anyone else realized that yet?
I think,
like,
they all know.
Oh, they do? Okay.
I'm
because
relatively
I haven't,
certain.
It hasn't been introduced in Justice League, then. Because I don't think in Justice League anyone saw him turn back into a kid.
I don't think it was in Justice League. I think it might have been in Trinity War.
Okay, fair enough. It's been a while, obviously, sadly. We had all this stuff. I do remember Constantine trying to look for his power. but I don't remember if they realize that his power is what is became a kid into an adult.
That I'm not sure, because even when they introduced him in the backups, the Justice League was not really involved.
Not at all. Also, I would like to add that up. It's weird now how his character has kind of shifted in a way, where that the Billy Batson that they showed us in the backups seemed as if he was like this tough kid, you know? I know he was trying. I know he was a tryhard. You know, I know he was trying to be this tough kid. He really wasn't that tough. But now it's just feels strange, where it's just he has the powers, and now he's really childlike. Very. To the point where I'm not saying he's obnoxious, but many can make him seem as if he's obnoxious. And it felt as if he was not that way when we saw him in the backups.
Certain parts, you could kind of see it, but they were trying to stray from that, which is interesting because it is actually the same exact writer.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I mean, maybe, like, you survived the whole Forever Evil, so you kind of have a new outlook on everything.
I guess. It's just weird because, like wrestling, people, you know, sometimes try to tell me, Matt, you know, they don't have to spell out everything for you, except that they always do. You know, comic books are always, wrestling always. So when it doesn't spell it out for me, I can't just sit there and try to, like, not make things up, but I can't sit there and try to do what you just did, where it's like, oh, well, maybe they're trying to go for this. They never go for that, you know? they would have him say, I guess I'm happier now because I survived death. And then he flies around space.
Yeah.
You know? Where, I don't know, I'm sorry to say that. I never really see subtlety. You're either getting getting hit in the face with a brick, or you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I love the Bruce Wayne Lex Luthor. The banter was amazing. You know,
absolutely.
That could have made this my top favorite, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, even, at least out of the superheroes. But then, as you mentioned, and I have to really focus on this. So this is the only book that got basically, you know, pushed back because of Forever Evil being pushed back. Because obviously, you can't have this book coming out when Forever Evil isn't done yet. The problem is that they didn't push anything else back. And I think the only thing that really mattered to me, that really needed to be pushed back, honestly, was not even Batman Eternal, strangely enough. Because, hey, it was a one-issue thing. Sorry, but, you know, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole Nightwing death. Sorry, don't push that back. Push back Doom.
Yeah.
I think Superman Doomed, now I feel angry. Like, I actually do feel it. Because in the future, maybe, it won't seem off, you know, Superman Doomed and Lex Luthor, because you could either have people explain to you what happened, or if DC's smart, they'll put a little blurb somewhere, like Marvel does with their issues, with their TBBs. But when it comes to where, you know, currently happening right now, the story's fucked. Like, you could not read Justice League because you're sitting here like, you know what, screw this. Because some of the tension involves Lex Luthor now not being part of the League because Bruce said, no, I'm not making you part of the League. Even though we know from Doomed that he's flying with them.
Exactly,
so he's part
like
of
at
the
least
League.
At least put a little box in the bottom of the corner, possibly even on the first page, putting this story takes place prior to issues of Superman Doomed or something to that extent.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously they do, because and that's probably why they didn't think they needed one. But this is the one time where we actually feel as if they needed one, if only because, I mean, it's not as if they didn't need one, because obviously they'd take place before it, obviously, now.
Mm. Yeah.
But with the problem, I think, what I think they could have done is, if you know you're going to be delayed, and this is what your story's going to be, I know it sounds crazy and probably would halt everything, but just cut things up, you know, where if you really were going to, okay, because when they were delayed for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
They clearly knew where their story wanted to go. I'm sure it was probably based on artists, right? Because usually that's what, you know, plugs things up, right? Because usually the writers can just write. It's the artists that usually, right? I mean, is that a fair analysis?
Usually.
Yeah. So I assume in this case, it had to be artists. Because the writers had everything written up, because, or at least their outlines, because they could not have, they couldn't have had this all planned out like this while being delayed. So, again, clearly they had to have this all, but if they could have just cut it up. You know, if you cut it up, because now all of this quote-unquote tension, there's no tension.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there is no tension. There is no reason. You could have just had him say yes and then call. You know, that little thing right there, where, of course you can, Lex. Lex leaves. Hey, I need to talk to you, Superman. That's
exactly.
all.
Yeah.
Because you could have said, at least from what's going on in Doomed right now, it could have been at least something like, oh, Lex is part of it, but maybe now Superman knows, and maybe there's something we can all talk about, and they can all do to plan, maybe after Doomed happens, to, you know, impeach Lex if he does anything stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, honestly, like, I can bet you money that by the time Doomed ends, we're going to have Justice League with, okay, Lex, you're in the league now. Which is going to be so bad.
I know.
Especially because now you're sitting here thinking, are they going to cut out any aftermath issues? You know, like, when are the aftermath issues going to come out? Are they going to cut out any stories, like, in the middle? Maybe they're going to be one-offs? You know, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
Because you can tell now that they're really delayed.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I mean, the only thing I could have thought to do, possibly, was release 31 and 32 in the same month, but have a different artist for 32 to kind of catch up.
Yes, exactly. Something like that could have also worked.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, but clearly, I mean, they're just, and it's just upsetting because I understand why you don't want to, you know, have Eternal be, you know, be blocked up because it's weekly. You know, you don't want anyone to think, oh, they can't keep up the pace. I mean, hell, they've done it to the, they've kept the pace up to the point where it's been different artists almost every week.
Yeah.
And some, you know, some for the better, some for the worse. And so they've clearly had different artists. So, you know, they kept up that pace, but Doomed could have waited. I could have waited, I feel.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
I don't know. I mean, again, maybe they wanted to do Doomed before having any other, you know, things coming out. You know, any other big kind of arcs, you know, anything like that, maybe. But still, I just think that having Doomed out right now is really screwing up their product.
Absolutely.
I mean,
there was probably plans for maybe, because, I mean, comics do this all the time, a one or two issue mini arc. They could have easily probably put out like a few of those for some of the issues before Doom started to kind of get them to catch up with Justice League.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's, hell, I'm sure they have, you know, I know that they used to do this back in the day, but I'm sure they have some issues that have just been written just in case if they ever had an emergency.
Exactly.
And they could have easily pulled out those issues because I don't know about them, but I consider this an emergency. You know, this is in no way right where you don't have a story here. You know what I mean? Where it's just, if you know what's going on in Doomed, this is spoiling you. And if you don't know what's, you know, and if you know, reading Doomed and not Justice League, yeah, you know, again, hey, maybe there's that overlap, you know, but they want people to buy their comics. They want you to think, oh, yeah, no, buy that Justice League. It's really cool. The movies are coming. Yeah, buy it. And you're sitting here like, wait, I know what happens already.
Exactly. And we're definitely not getting anywhere with this whole Lex Luthor thing anytime soon. Especially if you look at the last page of Justice League, because we all know now the next few issues are probably going to revolve around the Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know
which
when this whole...
Which was
interesting. Yeah.
Which was... where's the Doom Patrol? Okay.
That's great for you
do
guys.
Your thing,
I don't know
guys.
Who you are.
Yeah, you do your thing, guys. I really enjoyed Power Ring. I don't know why. I'm very upset we didn't mention her and that whole thing a lot. I really enjoyed the Power Ring. Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, yes. I really enjoyed that.
I have to say one thing about the writer, Geoff Johns. He has the best ways of doing origins for new characters.
Yes. I can agree with that. He's, you know, he's very good at that. You know, I mean, I just... We've complained about what we've complained about, but hey, there's something good. Hey, there's something...
it had its moments.
It did. And again, that's why it was going to be my top favorite, but that really irks me, if only because I know it's not the writer's fault, but it just really irks me because so much could have been done to prevent it that now the blame goes onto the book itself.
Yeah.
Sad to say. But, yeah, so here we are again at the end. It was nice talking to you about comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice to have you guys listening, and girls and gals listening. It's nice.
Very nice.
And, yeah. So, any last words you would like to... I feel like I'm killing you. Any last words, Mr. Bond?
Does this also count as my last call, too? Because I'd like to have one of those.
No, you know, this counts as your last call.
Damn.
Calling into the radio is your last call.
Okay, I gotta make this count. Everybody read Outcast as soon as you can.
Those are your last words? Dear God, man.
It's a good book. I just use them as my last words.
Yes! You are now about to die. What will you say to the kingdom? You should definitely read Outcast. I mean, just saying. Just go read this comic book. Yes, like, my words have spoken. You know? Yeah, I mean, hey, whatever. Thank you guys for listening to those guys. If you want to check any more of our shows out, be they This Week in Comics, which obviously happens every week, or any of our other shows. I know, you know, on Sunday we have the WWE pay-per-view Money in the Bank with myself and Satish Ram. You know, and of course a bunch of other shows coming up. I mean, usually once every week, myself and my other guest co-host Tristan Walter will always talk about Dragon Ball Z films. Sadly, if you noticed, he was unable to make it to the History of Trunks you know, episode yesterday because of some time travel shenanigans. He was trying to stop, you know, robots in the future. Crazy stuff. I mean, kooky stuff. Not enough time to talk about it now. Don't worry. But, yeah. But, sad, you know, sadly I had to go through that podcast alone. But it's okay. He'll probably be back next week for our Super Android 13 podcast. And, yeah, if you want to check out these shows, as I was saying, you know, they're posted on our Facebook page. Those Guys on the Radio. Via the URL, or if you're going to search us up, just search up Those Guys, and you'll definitely find us. You know, like our page. You'll see all of our posts whenever we post up a new episode. And also, Anthony, my co-host today, you have an Instagram, do you not?
Yes, I do.
And what do you post on this Instagram? Also, what is your Instagram's name again?
It is Geek4LifeBlog, the number 4.
Right. So Geek4LifeBlog. And what do you post on there? You post pictures of...
Primarily custom figures.
Right, custom figures that you make yourself.
Yes.
You customize these yourself. Now, tell us how you do it.
Usually it's either a full-out repaint, possibly kit bash, depending on what the look I'm going for.
Right, and kit bash is, you know, involves you using like little, you know, tiny, let's say guns or maybe, you know, shields and things from other toy sets. From
possibly
other
even
sets.
Swapping out different limbs and all that.
Yes, exactly. Even
to get all Frankenstein on you.
Yes, right. To make, you know, to getting all Batman on you. Looking at you. Looking at you, Batman and name guest here of the month. Trying to recreate Damien. Hello. But anyway, yes, yeah, so you can do this, and people who have you on Instagram can PM you, you know, private message you, and they can ask you for either, you know, a specific figure and of course, you know, what your price is, and you'll give them a specific price, and you can make that figure for them. And what have you made thus far? Because I've seen a few of your figures, but I'd like you to tell everyone. You've made, what was it, a Winter Soldier?
A Winter Soldier, a Superior Spider-Man, a Thor, a few Batman here and there, and an Optimus Prime mainly.
Okay, good. I was right, because I remember the Optimus Prime, but I was worried that I may have been off. But yes, so you make a lot. He does. Check him out on Instagram, Geek, the number 4, Life Blog, Geek4LifeBlog. And yeah, I mean, again, thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. I'm going to play us off. If you're not a fan of Nicolas Cage, you may be now. He comes again, Anthony.
No.
Oh, not Oh, my God!